This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, it's another beautiful Saturday afternoon right here in Melbourne town. And of course, by the wonders of modern technology, I'm right here on your wireless. Today, it's the Italian episode. All of my discussion today is around Italians, Italian food and Italian formaggio. Stick with me. Yes, we are talking cravings because we do this every Saturday at 1 o'clock. Hello, I'm Pete Dillon, taking you through until 2 o'clock to celebrate all things Italian today. I've had the joy of a little zip up to the country to meet a couple of young Italian chefs, Luca and Francesco. We'll be joined by them very shortly to have a discussion about being stuck in the middle of nowhere and running a two-hatted restaurant. But I'm also very, very blessed, very lucky to have in the studio with me a couple of young ladies. Now, they are sisters, they are cheesemakers, and I'm going to probably muck up their names at some point. So I'll do the introductions very, very quickly. They are currently at Il Fornaio in St. Kilda making some beautiful cheese. Their names are Sabrina and Katia Capadoccio. Yes. Welcome, girls.
Welcome.
Nice and close to the microphones. Also joining us, in case I get in some trouble, is Mark Filippi. Mark, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Now, the restaurant is yours.
It is, yeah. My brother and I and Luca, our...
Your brother is Attil?
Attil, yeah. And front of house manager Luca has recently become a partner. So, we've got an amazing team.
And am I of the understanding there's a footballer involved as well?
Oh, no, that's in our... we've got an upcoming project in Brighton.
Yep.
And Josh Gibson from Hawthorn's going to be a partner.
He's a former North Melbourne player. That's why I know this information, yes. Because, of course, he is from North Melbourne. Formerly of North Melbourne, I should say. Now, I need to... Katia and Sabrina, how long have you been in Australia?
4 months.
4 months?
Yeah.
And you come from where in Italy?
30 May.
From...
30 May.
30 May, where is that?
We have a factory there.
Okay, where geographically in Italy?
Near Rome.
Okay, beautiful, yeah. Beautiful. And do you make cheese?
Yeah.
In Italy? So yeah. What brought you to Australia? What made you come over here to make cheese for Il
Fornaio? Because we meet Mark and Luca.
Yep.
Luca.
Yes.
And for us, was a dream.
Yep.
Come to Australia,
uh-huh.
And we think here it's possible to make a beautiful cheese with buffalo milk.
Yeah,
buffalo milk,
mm-hmm.
Because the milk is very nice, and it's possible.
It's possible.
Bring the knowledge, maybe.
Yes. No, all good. If you struggle, I'm sure that Mark will just jump in and help us because my Italian is very poor. His is very good. And your English is excellent anyway.
Oh.
Now, Katia and Sabrina.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Is cheese making in your family? Is it a historical thing that you make cheese? Is your parents cheese makers?
Yeah. My mother has a factory. Factory.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My father...
We've met inside the factory.
Yep.
We have a factory since 1960.
yep.
in Italy. Start my grandfather, our grandfather. He from Naples.
Naples.
Yes. Moved to Rome.
Yep.
And start the factory there. And just 10 years after, my father and my mother meet there.
Yep.
And
They met there.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Inside the factory.
Romantic story.
Yeah. Very romantic.
So is it just the two of you?
We are three sisters. Yeah. We have another one.
Yep.
Take care of the
And they
the
stay in Italy
there.
In
yeah.
the factory?
Yeah, yeah.
So the whole family is involved in making
yeah.
cheese.
Yeah.
Wow. Fun. Terrific. What a great story already. So tell me about the types of cheese that your factory produces in Italy before we start talking about Australia.
The kind of cheese we make in Italy as mozzarella, buffalo mozzarella,
mm-hmm.
Caciocavallo, scamorza, ricotta, stracchino. We make a lot of kind of cheese, but the first one is mozzarella di bufala because we have a lot of buffalo milk there.
Okay.
It's typical area.
Right. Mark, help me out here. Is buffalo something that's quite common to that part of Italy?
Yeah. Well, the lady's grandfather was the first to sort of to go there and set up a factory there because Fossanova, which is the region where they are, lots of buffaloes, but it wasn't used for the cheese making process. So their grandfather was the first one to go there, like more than 60 years ago.
Mm.
And now there's over 30 different factories there. So it's really amazing access to buffaloes and buffalo milk.
Beautiful. Look, we'll continue this discussion very shortly about buffalo milk and, of course, the beautiful cheeses that are being produced not just in the family factory in Italy but also right here at Il Fornaio in St Kilda, where you can go and enjoy the wonders that these girls produce and also some cracking pizza. I have to give you that hint. But first, we'll have a couple of messages here on Cravings on Joy 94.9, where it is about 13 minutes past one.
Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Guy Grossi and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are listening to Joy 94.9. This is the Italian episode today, and very shortly I'm going to have some music that has a bit of an Italian feel to it as well. Not entirely Italian, but I'm joined in the studio, first of all, by sisters Katia and Sabrina Cappadocio. They're here from Italy making cheese at Il Fornaio. Also in the studio is Mark Filippi, who owns Il Fornaio. Mark, what encouraged you to bring a couple of Italian cheese-making sisters all the way from near Rome to Melbourne to make cheese?
Yeah, well, we're looking for to open at night, and we didn't want to open just another pizza restaurant. So we'd seen a growing sort of food trend is to make everything in house, and an amazing opportunity. A phone call from overseas. Luca told me, our front of house manager, that he had met some amazing cheesemakers.
Oh, and Mark, I've met a couple of girls.
Yeah, I've met some girls. You should get to know them. And straight from them, we started looking into some visa options, and within a few weeks, they were here. And we make all our own bread, and want to make the cheese from scratch. So, yeah.
Sabrina, has it been a surprise at how easy this was to come to Australia and be part of this organisation?
Yeah, very, very easy for me. Yeah.
It's been easy?
Yeah.
And you like Australia?
Yeah, I like Australia. Yeah.
So, I mean, you're working down near St Kilda Beach. There's nothing too wrong with that. Although you don't get it. Do you get time to go to the beach?
Yeah, I like the beach.
You like the beach?
Yeah. It's my dream.
It's your dream? Who is the older sister? Who's older?
Sabrina.
Sabrina. Not by much, I don't think.
Yeah.
Katia, you're being kind to your sister as well. So the journey here, you've arrived. Talk about the cheeses that you guys produce at Il Fornaio.
In this moment, we are produce 13 kind 13. Of cheese there.
13?
13.
Different products.
We produce fresh cheese like mozzarella di bufala, ricotta, stracchino. The new one is Roviggiolo.
Ravigiolo.
Ravigiolo.
Right.
It's very, very fresh.
Mm-hmm.
It's just cured and salt It's very good for the health.
Good for the health?
Yeah.
There's cheese that's good for my health.
Yeah.
Bring that. Throw it at me, girls.
And after we make scamorza, caciocavallo, provolone, and we try to make hard cheese too.
Hard cheese like a...
Like parmigiano.
Okay.
No? Parmigiano reggiano. Mm-hmm. But season it inside the wine.
Okay.
Inside the wine. Space.
Ah, this is the ones that got the Merlot on the outside. Yeah.
Mm. It's not ready.
What's the wine on the outside? What wine do you use?
A Barolo.
Barolo.
Yeah, from Piemonte.
Beautiful.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's very nice.
I love Barolo. Nice big ballsy red wine. So... you're making all of these cheese. How long? There's different maturities, obviously, for cheese. So
yes.
Some of the fresh cheese is obviously ready straight away.
The fresh cheese, mozzarella, you need just 10 hours for the process, mm-hmm. and after it's ready soon, very soon. Stracchino, you need 5-6 days.
Yep.
For scamorza, too, same mm-hmm. days. Caciocavallo, 10-20. Depends if you like fresh or a little bit seasoned.
Mm-hmm.
The long process for the long maturation for the Taleggio, 60 days.
60 days?
Yeah. And this kind of cheese we call pressato
mm-hmm.
with the red wine out. 65
2
days.
Months.
2
Sabrina.
Months, yeah.
Yep. That's a long time to wait for a piece of cheese. I love it. So you know that I love cheese. You can tell that I love cheese. It's one of my diet staples. How hard is it to make cheese? Or is it a reasonably simple process once you know how?
È difficile per fare il formaggio.
Maybe the start. Yeah, because you need to know a lot of things. Temperature, pH, and the quality of the milk, fat, protein, because you need a lot of things for make. But after, it's a passion.
So it's quite a scientific process, isn't it? Scientific.
Yeah, well, they came with their whole science kit with all different tools and temperature gauges and all
thermometers and all sorts of business.
Very impressive watching them work, and they're really savvy, and the detail they go to is incredible, you know.
How much is the difference has it made to your business to have a bit of, and I'm not questioning anybody making cheese here, it's not authentic, but a bit of authenticity all the way from Italy, a couple of good-looking Italian-speaking girls just out the back making cheese?
Yeah, well, it's all a part of making that experience an authentic one. And if you go in the kitchen, there's not really anyone that's speaking English, and it's a great atmosphere and keeps it. It shows that it is really authentic, and we couldn't have, we had a phone conversation, but when they arrived, they were just far more impressive than we could have hoped for. So really happy, and we're looking at doing a small cheese making factory because they, you know, they're loving life in Australia and looking for the next challenge, and it's been, the feedback so far has been impressive. So
the cheeses are magnificent. I certainly can give you that. And this is all part of Il Forno offerings, sort of a very true Italian experience.
Yeah, exactly. The pizza maker's Italian. He's making them.
He's that skinny little bloke that looks like he's never eaten a piece of pizza.
Exactly,
he's so thin.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, which is sort of kind of wrong. Look, we're going to have a bit of a track just now. This is, it's not Italian, but it has the word Italian in it, so that should be enough for you. From the soundtrack from the film 9, this is from Fergie, who you might know from the Black Eyed Peas. This track is called Be Italian here on Cravings on Joy 94.9, where it's 19 minutes past 1.
Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Manny Fildel, and you are with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are with me. Thank you for popping in and doing that, Manu. Very, very kind of you. I have in the studio with me two very gorgeous Italian sisters. Their names are Sabrina and Katia Capodoccio. In with them is Mark Filippi. They're all from Il Fornaio in St. Kilda, which has been a bit of a daytime eatery. But, Mark, you've had a bit of a change of tack and moved into dinners, and that's sort of why Katia and Sabrina are here as part of the process of that authentic pizza experience.
Yeah, well, you've got some amazing... Well, St Kilda is a really local place to live, and you've got some. We're surrounded by some amazing restaurants. You know, you've got Lau's Family Kitchen, you've got Circa, you've got Cafe D'Estasio, and there's really that... That niche we saw in the thing where we could open at night, people would come, be that really local place. Everything's under $20. Make our be a family restaurant with pizzas, but we wanted to make our own cheese, and so yeah, we brought the ladies over and they make cheese. It's amazing.
Oh, ladies, that's nice. Now, tell me, where buffalo milk? Obviously, you can't get that in and around Melbourne. Where does the buffalo milk come from?
It comes from Miller Miller up in central Queensland. Yeah, we had some amazing difficulties when they arrived sourcing buffalo milk because it's very scarce here in Victoria.
Well, not a lot of buffaloes around.
A lot of water buffaloes around. No. Hey.
And Kata, you were saying that there's a natural process that you use for making cheese. So there's no chemical additives?
No chemical, no, because we use just the natural ferments for make the whole process.
Yep.
And for this, we need a lot of hours for make. For example, for the mozzarella, buffalo mozzarella, is this very good for the health because the milk is all
transformed,
yeah. Sugar, milk.
And the sugar
transform in acid.
Yeah, it's more
digeribile.
So it's good for the digestive system.
And we don't use the acid.
Right.
Or acid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very natural process.
With a natural process and no chemicals, what's the life of the cheese, the shelf life? How long can it last if it's in your fridge?
For the buffalo mozzarella, you can...
10 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
10, 15.
Stracchino?
No, stracchino is more long. 20. Stracchino 20, 30 days, because it's a cream, it's more cream, the difference.
So it can last a bit longer. Mm, they're all very good cheeses, I have to give you that. So if people want to come and experience this, we best tell them where you are.
Yeah, well, we're at 2C Ackland Street.
So hit the Prince of Wales, chuck a left.
Left as if you're going to the car park, next door to Lau's Family Kitchen. We're open Thursday to Monday. Tuesday and Wednesday, the ladies need the...
they need time to go to the beach.
They need time to go to the beach, and it's amazing production they have on at night. You'll see the lights on in the back, and they're there sort of till 2 in the morning making cheese.
Wow. Yeah. So, have you met any nice Australian men?
Well, Cartier is married and Sabrina's engaged.
You're married.
But they've
They've
still met lots of men, and they saw the Collingwood football team down at the beach, and they were very excited. So,
right, Collingwood. Okay. I don't know how anyone can get...
Australia have a beautiful boy.
Yeah, so does Italy, though.
It's a difficult...
So does Italy, from my very limited and humble experience. Girls, it's been wonderful to have you in the studio talking all things cheese. I'm very grateful you could make the time. And continued success, Mark, at Il Fornaio, because I can assure you the cheeses and the pizzas are magnificent. I'm really grateful for your time.
Much appreciated. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Grazie.
Grazie tante.
What lovely sisters they are, and I'm very glad to have had them in this studio. It's time for a little bit more music, and this time it's coming from Bette Midler, and this is a little bit of Mambo Italiano. Of course it had to be played. Why not? This is from Bette Midler Sings, Rosemary Clooney here on Cravings on Joy 94.9, where it is 1:30.
Joy 94.9.
G'day, I'm Pete Evans, and you are with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are with Pete Dillon here on Cravings on Joy 94.9, the Italian episode for your pleasure this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. A couple of days ago, I did wander off to a little place up in the country called Yark to meet some very impressive young men. Here is that chat. In a little town in north central Victoria, it's a two-hatted restaurant that is, to anybody who visits here, somewhat of a surprise. It's not a surprise that the restaurant has two hats. The surprise is that it's 2 hours from Melbourne, the nearest town with a supermarket is 15 minutes away, and yet two young Italian fellows have kept a standard and remain committed to doing so in the little town of Yark. I'm talking about the tea rooms at Yark. Francesco and Luca, welcome.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So tell me about Yark, first of all. How did two smart young Italian boys from Italy end up in this little dry town that is sort of not close to anywhere? Maybe I'll start with you, Luca.
We came in Yark because for the restaurant. Okay. Yeah, we came here for the restaurant, just for that. And after we've been falling in love to this town, that's why it's more than 3 years for me. I'm working here, and a couple of years for him.
So, Francesco, for you, what brought you to Yark? Is it to come and work with Luca, or...?
Yeah, I came here to Yark to work with Luca. So we've been friends for a long time. To work with my girlfriend, Bianca, and to work in a beautiful restaurant like this, you know, very pretty prestigious name and really good food.
So let's step back a bit. Before you came to Australia, you knew one another in Italy.
Yes.
So you've been friends for a long time. You just decided on an Australian holiday for the hell of it?
Yeah. We decided to come here and say, let's try and see how is Australia, because we were born in Italy.
Yep.
So I said, let's go and try. So we came here, we tried the first year, and we absolutely loved it. So we decided to stay. And
try to stay. It's not easy to stay in Australia, but yeah.
So your partner's now, I think you said your girlfriend is French?
No, his girlfriend is
French. My girlfriend is French. She's French.
And yours is?
Australia.
Australian.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Right, now I'm clear.
Yeah.
So... talk about the area you're from in Italy. Tell me about the food in your village, in your town.
Mm. Okay, the food in Modena, yeah, I love it.
So we have Modena for balsamic vinegar.
Balsamic vinegar. Pavarotti,
Massimo Bottura.
Parmesan cheese. Yeah, and there is a lot of pork, like salami, prosciutto, zampone, mortadella, yeah.
It's not much green. As they say in Australia, in Modena, because Australia loves green. And Modena is like a town. Modenese food is actually not, it's against the green, it's against the vegetables. We just eat pork, cured meat, it's a pasta.
Okay, I would love this town. If there's meat and cheese, and a lot of the meat is pork based, it's the town I should live in. So, have you bought a piece of Modena to Yark?
Yeah, I think so. Yes. Every day. Yeah, of course. In our food, there is that touch, from Modena, of course. We love to use the salumi.
It's impossible to change our Modenese touch. It's quite important as well.
Well, it's also in your heart.
Yeah, of course.
We grow up with that. So
you're both chefs.
Yeah.
Who taught you to cook? Your mum?
The beginning, the first one who taught me to cook was my mum, and then slowly, I became passionate about food, and I went to school, learned about cooking in a professional way, and then I started to work in restaurants. But my mom was the first one, of course, to tell me how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
Why? And because she didn't have time to prep me food, so she said it's better if you learn how to cook, otherwise you're not gonna eat.
And it was the same thing?
No, completely the other way around. I learned everything from my father, because he always had this passion. My mom, she couldn't make anything, seriously, anything.
It's very hard to find an Italian mom who can't cook.
Yes, but she never liked it, so okay. If you don't like making food, there is no way you can make something good, so... Yeah, Lord, from him, I start to play with the food because I was very young. After, unfortunately, they got divorced. So I had to learn because I was very hungry.
Because you stay with your mom and
yeah.
She
finished up. So that's how I start.
What's been the challenge then here in Australia? Obviously, you're 2 hours out of town. You don't have markets and all of that available to you. How difficult is it to get good produce? Have you got good relationships with farmers around here? Or do you have to, load up a four-wheel drive and head to Melbourne every week?
But we buy a lot of things from Melbourne, of course. Mm-hmm. But we know also a few producers just around the year, so we can have a very good quality.
Is that the biggest challenge for you both, Francesco, that produce is not at your doorstep?
Well, yes, it's pretty big because we have to organize and design the menu 1 week in advance, knowing just from the book that we have, you know, the customer's book.
Yep.
So because basically we do the menu on Sunday night for the next weekend, just looking at the book and say, oh, we got 20 customers, but maybe that weekend is going to be more busier. We can have like 60, 90, we don't know. So we have to adjust our shopping for the customer that we have. So it's always like, you don't know where you, for how many people you got to cook.
We don't have yet.
And do you have your own garden, or is that no longer?
Yeah, Pietro Porco's got a farm, mm-hmm, just down the road here. It's got like thousands of animals, like goats, lamb, pigs, suckling pig, horses, donkey. Sometimes we got yabbies.
You're not cooking the horses or the donkey, are you?
Well, I would like to lock
we
to
won't
cook,
drive, but yeah.
Well, we can't.
No,
yeah,
one wants.
You're not allowed to cook horses.
Are they things you eat in Italy?
Yeah.
Horse,
yeah, donkeys.
And donkey.
Yeah.
I believe the milk from the donkey makes beautiful poulet cheese.
Yeah, and it's very healthy. Mm. Yeah, also for baby with sickness, they can drink milk from the cow. It's the best.
It's very special. It's an idyllic location, and you look out the windows of this dining room onto a gorgeous little garden and properties you've got across the road.
Yeah.
Which are an old church and an old hall.
Yeah.
So if people do come from Melbourne and they have a little too much wine, they can stay.
They can stay there.
Sleep over, You can get drunk and sleep over there.
We don't encourage people. Everything in moderation.
They can do whatever they want in the churches.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a bit scary.
We are on Cravings here on Joy 94.9, talking to Francesco and Luca, who I met last week in the beautiful little town of Yark. We've got a couple of messages and we'll be back to hear the rest of that chat.
Joy 94.9.
This is Pete Dillon here on Cravings on Joy 94.9, where it's about 20 minutes to 2 in the middle of a chat with Francesco and Luca, who are from the tea rooms at Yark. We were just talking about the accommodation they have there in Yark, but we also managed to get a bit of a chat further on about the food that they do there and all of that. So I hope you enjoy the rest of this chat.
You said it changes every week, so you look on Sunday at what's free, what's seasonal, what's available.
Yeah, exactly.
You can build something around that.
Yeah, we design, we look which season, which month and what's available on the market, the fresh and the best produce available at the moment, and then we design a menu with five entrees, four pastas, four main course, and a few desserts.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is decided by the season. And what's available from Pietro's farm, sometimes you use, for example, at the moment, the tomatoes are beautiful over there, and we got lots of tomato everywhere. We do some sugo, tomato jam, we do tomato with tomato coulis, tomato gel, we use a lot of tomato, basil at the moment as well, it's very good. Fishes, we usually use at the moment, snappers, baby snappers, because they're fresh from the ocean. We talk with our producers down there at the market.
Yep.
And then we decide what to do for the next week.
So you've got mates in Melbourne who can look out for produce for you as well. I know you said you worked at Circa and Sati and elsewhere.
Yeah.
Have you got friends who will sort of look after you and pick stuff up for you if you need it while it's available?
Yes. We've got friends. Even this weekend, we got a few things going on for next week. So we are in contact like every single, not minutes, but a few hours. We say, listen, we need this pheasant for next week, we need this fish for next week because we have to do this special menu, this special...
Quello che dobbiamo
fare lunedì, che cazzo si chiama? Photo shoot. So we organize this photo shoot for next week. So we're organizing all these things all over this weekend because we can't go in Melbourne. So we have to organize over the phone and talk to these people. Can you please go to the market? Can you please go to gym? Can you please go get this all produced for us and then we can prep it for Monday?
So, given that you're out here in Yark, several hours out of Melbourne, you don't get the opportunity to go and eat at restaurants every other night like many of us do. Where did your influence come in? I noticed when I walked in the door, you're reading a cookbook from a couple of American chefs.
Yeah.
Where do you seek that influence when you're not... You're not able to go and look at competitors' restaurants?
Well, I think... I don't know if it's good or bad, but I think it's probably better for us because we're here and we can design our style of food without copying or getting influence from Melbourne chefs.
Good. So you don't have anything that's a taco?
No.
Good. No. Because every second venue in Melbourne is doing tacos for some reason.
Well, we love reading. Yep. We read a lot of books. Yeah.
Well, I guess you'd have a bit of time.
Yes.
A lot of time.
Yeah.
Finished the work at 10:30, and the pub is already closed. The only pub within town closed at probably like 9 o'clock.
9 to 11. Right.
So we stay here, play Scopa.
But we have to say Santam is waiting for us. He keeps open just for us, so we can go there, have a drink, talk with him a little bit, and after...
Come back.
Which I guess you could do here, but you're probably sick of one another.
Yeah, also because we sleep here in the restaurant, so we are here 24 hours a day. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was sleeping before you came here.
You're in the kitchen prepping.
So, yeah, sometimes we need to go out and see maybe other people, have a walk.
Social. You need to be social.
Yeah.
Yark.
I'm speaking with Luca and Francesco from the Tea Rooms in Yark. I'm actually sitting at the Tea Rooms in Yark, and I'm pleasantly surprised by the enthusiasm these two young men have, being a country Victorian myself. I don't know that I could do it. I think I would find it too isolating. I've become very used to Melbourne.
Yeah, probably.
Well, it would kill me, I think.
We miss Melbourne too.
You do?
Yeah,
sometimes, of course.
So you go back as obviously.
No, we leave here just on the weekend, Thursday to Sunday, Monday night.
Right.
And then we go back. We live in Melbourne.
Okay.
We live, we live a bit here, a bit there, a bit everywhere. We are everywhere.
Like
the parsley. Exactly. Everywhere.
We have to say we miss the weekends in Melbourne, definitely.
Yeah, that's of course.
But then, as if you were chefing in Melbourne, your weekend would be Monday or Tuesday, probably.
Yeah, it depends. Sometimes, I've been working in restaurant, like, they used to be closed on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Saturday off, Saturday night, time to go hard, spend time with friends.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe go on the beach on Sunday morning.
Mm. And how far are you from a beach?
Oh, just like 2 km.
Yeah, we stay in St Kilda.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. So how far is this from the beach? What is the nearest beach to here? Melbourne?
Yes, I think so, yeah. It's probably 160 km.
Over the hills?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a drive. Although very pleasant, and it's nice to see the post-Black Saturday recovery. I was around up here when Black Saturday happened for my previous job, and just driving through the hills to see the regeneration has been... It was quite exciting to see how well things have grown.
It was pretty bad.
We had very close this year as well. We had a few fire at the back.
Yeah,
it was brown like the chairs. Really bad. Yeah, it was
scary.
Because we got
the fire brigade.
Fire brigade just next door. So not every night, but the alarm was going off and trucks going out. All right, guys, come on, let's go.
That is very scary, especially when you've seen the devastation that was wrought by Black Saturday.
This restaurant has been shut for 6 months for the big bushfire that happened 4 years ago.
Yeah, 2009.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the accommodation across the road. You've got the church and the hall, which you've converted into sleeping quarters as such. Does that make it easier to attract people from...
Definitely.
Yeah,
from the city?
Yeah. Yeah, because everyone, when he goes out for dinner, he likes to have maybe a couple of drinks.
Mm.
So, yeah.
And that's can be quite a treacherous drive if you've had a few.
Yeah.
Well,
you bring somebody who doesn't drink to dinner.
They're not funny. We don't like this guy.
No fun at all. So, if you could, let's say we gave you a bottomless pit of money... to do something else here in York, what would you do? Or would you do exactly what you're doing now?
Probably a swimming pool for the summer.
Yeah. I did see a river just up the road.
Yeah, but it's dry.
Yeah, but it's dry in summertime.
Ah, the big one, yeah. The golden. Oh. Yeah, it's a bit scary going jump in there.
Why so?
I don't know.
Probably the yabbies.
Well, we got a few snakes at the back here, so I can't imagine what's in that river.
Yeah, snakes don't really like the river. I grew up on the Murray River.
I know.
With a whole bunch of Italians. They used to jump in the river as well.
Okay. Okay, you don't know.
But the yabbies are good. If you can get the yabbies out of the river.
Yeah.
Or some freshwater fish, beautiful.
Yeah. We got something. We got a few yabbies.
Yeah.
And redfin.
Love redfin. Beautiful fish.
Yeah.
Beautiful fish. So what's next? Obviously, you know, you won't be here forever. Do you know what you... Do you want to stay in Australia? Do you want to go back home? Do you miss Italy?
Well, we miss Italy a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's... At the moment, it's not the best place where you can...
Having a bit of a financial issue, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the future there is not going to be very...
Rosy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's... At the moment, and we're looking to build our future in Australia, especially in Melbourne.
Would you open a restaurant in Melbourne?
Yeah. That's a dream of...
Yes,
that's why one of the reasons we came here, you know? Mm. Let's try to open a restaurant in Melbourne. Wow,
right. That's
it.
It was a little dream when we were in Italy, because I was 22. It was, you know, open a restaurant in Australia was like, wow, my God, it's impossible. But now we're here, slowly we're getting to...
But how old are you now?
27.
So in 5 years...
Yeah.
You've done awfully well to be restaurateurs anywhere in Australia.
Yeah, I didn't know there was that many competitors around. I thought it was easier. I don't know if you can say it.
Okay. Of course you can, because there's going to be people listening to this program who have opened restaurants and who understand the 24-hour, 7-day commitment.
Yeah.
To having a restaurant, you never are away from the restaurant.
Yeah.
When you're not there, you're not away. And it's, you know, turning between 2-3% profit margin for a city restaurant by the time you pay staff, by the time you pay exorbitant rent and so forth and so on. In some senses, I'm assuming you've got the luxury here of it being small enough that you don't need to be finding staff every week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically, we talk like pretty much for family as well. Mm. You're like owners and boyfriend and friends, really close friends, so we all work together as a team, and it's quite, we don't need much staff up here. But definitely, if you've got to open a restaurant back in Melbourne, it's really hard to find the right staff to run the restaurant.
And there is a shortage of staff. It doesn't matter, every day you open Twitter and you see, you know, 2-3-headed restaurants who are screaming for staff.
No.
Which is crazy.
Yeah,
but to say the difference between a 2-3 restaurant in the country and actually the tea room and to have 2-3 restaurant in the city, it's different because we've been more relaxed in the kitchen. You know,
we don't really feel all that pressure.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it because you're in the country? Do you think that's the difference?
Maybe it's because
we are just very
easy
close
go,
friend
yeah.
and
easy
very
go,
easy going.
The
we
staff
just
in the kitchen, really.
We just enjoy and having fun doing our job.
That's the top,
the main
quality of the kitchen environment and the restaurant as well.
And
that's
isn't that what it's supposed to be about? Isn't that why we do it? Because we love it? Because
yeah,
it's
but you know, yeah. some chefs, they love to be the top. And if you're not the top, you get upset. So if you want to run a kitchen and try to be the best, I think it's quite nasty in the kitchen. Well, I've been to some kitchens, so it's very nasty.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That's the norm, I think.
Yeah.
I met a guy on last weekend. I was involved with the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival Masterclass. He lives in Sweden, 670 kilometers north of Stockholm.
Mm-hmm.
His restaurant is 12 seats. It's his dining room, basically.
Wow.
He loves to hunt for 6 months of the year. Everything in the forest on the 24,000 acres is frozen. And yet this guy is number 34 in the world as a restaurant. I don't know how I can make the comparison to here, but the fact that you guys have two hats and have consistently had two hats for the last few years. Does having those awards put pressure on you to maintain a certain level, or if they came and went, it wouldn't bother you?
No. We just... Of course, when you go to the award, you can feel the nice, pressure. So it's nice. You got to have work in the team.
Makes you important. But yeah, we're having fun, seriously.
It's not more about the, I want the third hat, I want a second hat. Just come here, make nice food, the food that we like to eat. Mm-hmm. And with the window, people love to come up here to do 2-hour drives. And I'm sure they know what they come to eat. Like, it's good food. They don't want like something crazy or, you know, some brains, I don't know, some just nice food.
Yeah, also because we've got a different kind of guests here. We've got from the local is just passing through, going home from work, he wants just a takeaway pizza. We've got people, they driving from Melbourne just to have, the full dinner. We've got every kind of customer,
farmers.
So yeah, we have to be very cool here, and
It took a bit of time to get trusted from the locals.
From the locals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because they see these people coming from Italy, from Melbourne, you know, it's a bit...
Yes, what are they doing in our town?
Yeah, exactly. Like, then we go to the pub, oh, Italians here.
The Italian.
But they love us now.
Yeah. And you feel supported by the town now?
Yeah. You feel part of York.
Okay.
Part of.
You don't have people knocking on the back door with boxes of tomatoes or...
No, they're coming from the front one.
I guess the joy of having a country restaurant. Guys, I really enjoyed talking to you. I'm going to sample your food and what have you tonight and see what it's all about, but... thank you for giving up your time to talk to me today. And
thank you for coming here
and drive 2 hours.
It's my pleasure.
Joy 94.9.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, and that's the show for me, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to the Italian episode here today on Joy 94.9. It's been a joy to be with you. I will be back next week at the same time. Right now, it's time for the boys from Fender Bender. Have a lovely afternoon. This has been Cravings on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.